Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. I am Donna Smith, and I'm here with Leon Mauser, and the two of us will be taking you on a journey through Dr. Jack's writings. Now, we are both longtime residents of Central Florida, and Leon is a close friend of Dr. Jack Gresham, who is a veteran, a doctor, a husband, and a father, and has spent decades studying the Bible and sharing that knowledge with others. Now, it was obviously a calling from God that caused him to create his immense work. And through these podcasts of Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life, we will be sharing his work with you. Now, as we've explained in previous podcasts, the Bible is a unique combination of history and messaging for all of us to live by. So each week, we hope to share this history and its messages in a way which makes the Bible a working part of each of our daily lives. Now, we also want to remind everyone that you can find complete information about past and upcoming podcasts and our local involvement and general information on the website at drjackslantern.com. Now, our ambitious program is to have young adults get together and discuss these topics that are important to them and find the many answers that are in the Bible. Dr. Jack's work and the technology that we have of private meetings and breakout rooms can help guide them with that. Now, we feel this is necessary to contribute to making our society a better place. Therefore, we are very happy to have this opportunity of bringing to you Dr. Jack's Lantern for all to hear and read.
Hi, and this is Leon Mauser, and I want to congratulate you for being here today. And the reason is that you've made a decision to come on, and let's talk about making decisions. You know, over the last few weeks, we try to lay the basis for making good decisions in our lives, which this topic is that our belief system, it's our foundation for our decisions. Making sure it's aligned with God is key. And when you have good self-esteem and self-acceptance, making decisions based on your beliefs instead of outside influences, it's much easier to do. Now, many of us will say, we always do things. We like to obey our parents, or law and order figures will say what we never do, like driving drunk or do drugs, etc.
But you know what? We should be exploring even the everyday decisions, right? We make a lot of decisions in the midst of a crowd or in the loneliness of our own room, from those small decisions even to the big decisions. Obviously, people think that making a small decision of how I'm going to fix my hair or what I'm going to wear today, a lot of times kids don't even realize that that can be a very big decision in other ways. And what it means for other people, or how we're perceived, or even how we act further down the day in what we wore or what our hair. But the bigger decisions, everybody understands that to be a big thing, such as, should I marry this person, or am I going to relocate my job, or should I stand up for my conscience, even if I'm going to lose my friends over it, or being in the in-group, or is it even costing my job? So I like to point out that our decisions, no matter what they are, the big ones and the small ones, it takes courage.
You know, we're coming into the point of our lives as teenagers. We are given free will a little bit at a time as our parents allow us to do certain things at a certain age. And then that free will gets us excited when we have that ability to make our own decisions. That gets to be exciting. And as teenagers, because we have we make decisions differently than parents do. So they're more emotional. They have to be more emotional because they get together, they enjoy each other's company, and you can hear them because they're talking loud and they're having fun. This is all about teenage adjustment. Now, what I wanted to tell you was that because of their free will that's given them by God, an emotional comparison that could be, take a look and see if you recognize the difference between a teenager and an adult when the internet goes out?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one. Yes, I bet you anybody can start thinking about that and just go, yeah, so how does mom act and how does the teenager act when the internet goes out? Yeah, that's an interesting, Leon. You know, every decision that we make, and that's even, like you said, the reaction of a person to something that happens that out of their control, like the internet going out, that reaction is a choice. And when we make the particular choice, we are going down one path, and the other path is it we're not going to take. And there's a lot of choices or things, options that happen down that other path that we're not going to do because we took one other path. So it's interesting.
You know, usually it's so easy to get wrapped up into peer groups as to where you will allow those peer groups to make your decisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was had lunch with a pretty famous fella, and actually it was Tony Dungy, who was the one of the first Afro-Americans to win a Super Bowl as a coach. And he put on a seminar for teenagers, and he was telling them, don't go with the crowd. Because if you go with the crowd, you lose your identity. And if you go with the crowd, you're losing your alignment with God. You're falling away from that alignment. You know, there's a saying, a comedian says that always be aware of ignorant people in crowds. They're very powerful. So start thinking for yourself. You want to be accepted by others. And do that within the confines of God's rules so you can be happy. Because, you know, we're trying to find that happiness, but the only way we really can find it is to be happy and in love with God who loves us.
You know, Leon, that really does help bring back what we talked about in one of our first podcasts, which was the belief system. We all need to evaluate our belief system every once in a while to make sure that it's aligned with God. And when you're younger, people don't even think about it. So that's why we were trying to bring it out. You want your belief system to be aligned with God. And that way we can feel confident that when we make those decisions, when we make a choice to go down one path, it's good because we know our belief system is with God. So I think we should bring up how we – you know, how God talked about aligning ourselves
exactly.
with him. What did he say?
Well, let's talk about how he guides our journey of sanctification. Well, there's three Christian essentials, and we're going to talk about the first one, which would be the Ten Commandments. The other two I have in mind are the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. So we'll start with the Ten Commandments, and let's start at the top.
Okay, and I'd like to point out for people, a lot of times they go, yeah, there's those Ten Commandments. Where do they find them in the Bible? And I like to put it, you know, make them think and go back to the Bible so you can read it yourself. The Bible has the Ten Commandments. Most of us know it came from Moses, meaning God gave it to Moses to give to the people. Well, when did he give it to Moses? It was during the Exodus when they left Egypt. So it was after they left Egypt, that's when they received it. So it's the second book of the Bible. It's Exodus. And an easy way that I remember is that it's double the commandments. There's 10 commandments. Well, it's in chapter 20. So chapter 20 has the 10 commandments. And if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and read them.
Okay.
It says, then God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. That place of slavery. You shall not have other gods beside me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above or on the earth below or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation. But bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. So right off the bat, commandment number one explains what's going on and how he guides us for our belief system. I'll continue with the rest of them. And that's number two says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished him who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then either by you or your son or daughter or your male or female slave or your beast or by the alien who lives with you. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that you may have long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, nor anything else that belongs to him. There's the Ten Commandments. That should
and
be
that,
part of Jesus.
That's a... Let's start with number one, and let's talk about that for a while, because, you know, you mentioned that God is a jealous God. I'm just thinking while you were saying that, you know, what if I was able to create something as wonderful as a human? Why wouldn't I not love him? And why wouldn't I not seek for that human to love me back? You see, that's where God has a problem, is people not loving him back as much as he loves them. And what we have to do is turn that around by using his rules. And like I said, the first one is he's jealous. He wants you to love him. He would love a relationship with you. And we're not talking about, God, I need you now. You know, we're not talking about, hey, he's there if I need him, so if I'll pull him out of the closet. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about giving your life up to align yourself with God so you can be on the journey of sanctification, have a happy and an exclusive life exactly the way God wants you to.
You know, Leanne, this first commandment, I think a lot of people stop and just rush right over it because they think idols, well, I don't have any false idols. We're not worshiping Zeus and Serena and this, you know, all those false gods that was a very predominant part of the history. Now we have other idols. The historic idols, well, sometimes I wonder with all these Marvel movies or whatever, if bringing back Zeus and this kind of stuff, if we're starting to get back into that, but hopefully not. But that those are the historic idols. We have current idols. I know that people who spend more time on their car than their family.
You know what? I know a couple of guys like that too. But where are your, what do you perceive as what your list of goals would be? Is it to search out different idols like most people want to? They think that that's going to give them happiness. Certain idols, physical idols like sports people or even people in the music industry or people in Hollywood, when you search out those idols, eventually you're going to find out that that idol is not everything you thought it would be, and it never, ever fails. But there's only one idol that always comes through, always forgiving, always just like in his mercy. And that's God's idol. He is God, and he is jealous, and he wants us to love him.
Yes, those movie stars, I mean, that's like a whole other topic about how people don't realize that movie stars, singing stars, they literally are making idols of them. In fact, there's TV programs, right, called
yeah.
The Idols, yeah, right? but I think a lot of times people don't recognize that they have created things, their careers, cars, houses, things like that, that they have actually made an idol without even realizing it. And God further in the Bible even talks about those kinds of idols. In Isaiah 57, verse 12, he says, "I will expose your justice and your works. They shall not help you when you cry out, nor save you in your distress. The wind shall carry off, the breeze shall bear away, but he who takes refuge in me shall inherit the land and possess my holy mountain." Just like you were saying about God never fails. But even in the Bible further down, Isaiah is one of the later books in the Old Testament. He comes right out and says, hey, you're going to start doing things like putting your career in front of you. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do with that. It's not going to give you what you want. So
isn't that something where the Bible even warns us of what will happen in the future if we don't make these adjustments? You know, we were talking about those little adjustments before, about such a little adjustment can make such a big difference over a period of time. And that's the same thing what we're talking about today. Nobody expects you to be in the total agreement with everything, but a little at a time, when you make these changes, and the thing that really helps to make changes in your life to get on that journey of sanctification and not fall away from God is studying the Bible with other people that your friends, your peer groups, get together and study. There's so much conversation that you can get from a bunch of people just sitting down and studying the Bible together.
You're so right, Leon, and that is what we want to do. We want people to get together. It's kind of funny that we were even mentioning that, because that also fits with the first commandment about idols. People forget that they're making themselves an idol. Me, myself, and I. You know, we take credit so many times for what other people helped us on. You know, just turning around and saying, "Oh yeah, I created this project for school." You know, not mom and dad helped you, or maybe your sibling or your teammate, you know, making a goal, even in tennis, you know, you say it's all you. Well, no, you had help getting along there. And that's why we really want to encourage people to get together and talk about these things, because it's not all about us. It's how we help each other. And that's how we get up to paying attention to God, when we have others helping and supporting us. So again, I am the Lord your God. Don't have false idols in front of me. And that includes yourself. Don't make you just over-worship yourself, overstuff yourself with importance.
You know, that's why God gave us an ego. And that's where we go to appreciate and love ourselves, is our ego. But so many times our ego gets us into trouble. And that's where we need God's will to pull us out of trouble, because our ego may blind us to some common sense. It may blind us to some things that need to be done instead of some things that we think should be done. And so we have this ego, and God says, okay, you've got this. You have a free will, and you've got an ego. Now, what are you going to do with them?
Yes. Yes, exactly. You know, when we put too much self, you know, importance on ourselves and what we're doing, we truly forget that God has the major role in our lives. And if we don't realize that, he's going to do his best to show us. And I'm sure in future podcasts, we'll cover that even a little bit more. But this isn't a luck. It's not, you know, people go, oh, I was just lucky or whatever. No, God has a role in guiding us all along the way. I hesitate to talk about this, but it really does fit into this whole self-importance thing and what's going on in our world, where people are talking about, you know, climate change. Before it was global warming, and then all of a sudden they realized it's colder winter, so now they changed it to climate change, and trying to make it seem like we really have that much control over climate change. And I sit there going, this is an example of people giving themselves too much importance. I was around for Mount St. Helens when that blew. That's the volcano that's in Washington. And it didn't even have lava flow. It just kind of blew up and destroyed half the mountain with its ashes and all. And people don't realize that we talk about our carbon footprint and how much carbon we should be saving by not having cows. And I it just goes beyond what I can even imagine what they're trying to talk about. And I sit there going, you do realize that we humans can save all this carbon that you're talking about for more than 10 years. And God can, in one fell little swoop, just blink of an eye, make this one little volcano go poof. And that there's more carbon from that little poof than us saving for how many years. So self-importance, oh my goodness, we have such a small amount of effect on certain things. It can be big if it's a good thing, but God, oh, I think we talked about that in earlier podcasts, right, about the, he put the sun, moon, stars, this earth is his, and he has control, and there'll be signs there, so.
And thinking about, he created everything. And for him to create everything, it didn't cost him anything. So, you know, when we're talking about people that are getting indoctrinated into thinking that something is wrong, this is where you have to go back to the Bible. You look at people that are going and painting over these beautiful artwork and everything because they say that the climate change is going to kill us next year. These people are indoctrinated to the point where they can't use their common sense anymore. I mean, to get to that point, you really have to give up your belief in God and what God brings to you. I mean, God is saying in the Bible, if you're reading the Bible, God's saying, here I am. This is me. And, you know, I heard a husband ask his wife, he says, I want God to talk to me. And she says, read the Bible. And he says, no, I want God to talk to me out loud. She says, well, read the Bible out loud. So that's my advice for you today.
It's so true. That's so true. And we do have to make decisions. There's no doubt we all have to make decisions. But it does take courage. And we want to point that out that, it, you know, every decision that you make, it does take courage because the truth is when you make one decision, you're turning down a path that the other decision had other opportunities that you didn't know about and you're not going to take. And so it always takes courage. I think you told me a story about a squirrel once.
Well, you know, Donna, that's something that's very true. You've got to be able to make a decision, because if you can't, I could say all indecisions are final, but I could also tell you that the roads are loaded with squirrels. I couldn't make a decision.
That's what it was. I remember now. Yes. And I don't know if anybody's seen a squirrel being hit by a car, but typically you watch it and you go, yeah, just keep going that way or go the other way. And then they don't do either one. And that's why they're on the road. Dad, but,
you know, they flatten out and their tail sticks up in the air.
It takes courage to make these decisions, but that is why we talk and we stress about aligning your belief system with God so that you know when you're making decisions, it's probably going to be a good one. And God will interject every once in a while to get us on the right path. And again, I think when we make ourselves so important, we're forgetting that he's our God. And if we don't align with him and we make ourselves too much important, we're going to make mistakes, big ones. We're going to go down a wrong path.
We sure will if we keep doing that. But, you know, making adjustments one way or the other, you'll find out very soon if you did make the right decision. And I would like to just talk about, I'm just going to give a broad brush here for people who want to make decisions. I think that there's two types of people. There's people that give and there's people that take. And what I would like to just mention to you is that if you are a giver, if you line yourself up with a taker, you might be in giving for the rest of your life without seeing anything. You'll never see two takers line up together. But if you see two givers line up together, I think those are the ones that have the blessings of God. Those are the ones that know how to align themselves with the Lord, because it's all about giving. The Lord put us on this earth to share and to give with each other and to toil in his garden. And I think that that's so important when we say, God, you are everything. You created everything. You created me. And when he created man, he didn't say he is good. He said he is very good. So now we have to stand up to that and be able to make those good decisions.
I agree. You know, in closing, I think we quoted in our other podcast different things in Proverbs. I don't believe people understand how Proverbs literally has so much information on helping us think.
You know, Donna, I tell folks if they want to start reading the Bible, start with Proverbs. Because if you read one proverb a day, there's 30 days in a month, basically, and there's 30 Proverbs. So after a month, you'll read all the Proverbs.
Oh, that's very good. Very good. Yeah, that's a great idea. In Proverbs 1, okay, going to the first chapter, it kind of ties up what we're talking about in many ways, saying a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto these wise counsels.
Very good.
Further down, it says, and this is further down in Proverbs, I want to say, in chapter 12, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. So again, covering the first commandment, it's if you put so much importance in yourself or in other people and not in God, then you won't be wise.
No, you won't. And when you start doing that, you'll feel yourself falling away from him. And you don't want to fall away from him. You want to align yourself with him.
Yes. Well, we're going to continue how we create better decisions for ourselves, how we make decisions and how that process goes in the next few chapters. Leon, if you could just close us in a prayer.
Sure. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us to love you. Thank you for allowing us to learn more about you by using Dr. Jack's lantern, A Light to a Better Life. And we're so indebted to Dr. Jack for all of the wisdom that he has pulled out of the Bible for us to study. And Lord, we bless everyone on this call and those that aren't. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Leon. And we hope to see everyone next week. Again, if you have questions, if you want to comment, if you want to join in on our podcast and comment or whatever, please. The information is at drjackslantern.com, and there's a place where you can input the questions or get back to us. So the information's there. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.